as I was praying, you know, this being the beginning of a new year, I was praying to see what the Lord had me share. And I've got a lot of ideas, and possibly this will be carried on next week, because I'm not going to share exactly the way I thought I was going to today. But the question arises, and it still applies. The direction has changed, but why are we here? Why are we here? Why are we here gathered together today? But why is we believers are here on the earth? What's our purpose? Do you believe God has a purpose for each and every one of us? Amen. He has a purpose for us corporately as a body of Christ, and that's true of every other body of believers that are truly word followers, followers of Jesus Christ. He's got a purpose for every congregation that's following the word of God, and he has a purpose for us as a congregation, but he also has a purpose for us as individuals and as couples if we're married and all of these kinds of things. And so we are people with purpose. There's a lot of people out there in the world that don't have a sense of purpose, but you and I have purpose in this life. Amen? And if you don't feel like you do have purpose this morning, my prayer is that by the time it's all said and done, you're going to have a renewed sense of purpose on this earth. You know, the Bible talks about the idea that we're like sojourners in this world. We're just passing through, that we are in this world, but we're not of this world, is what Jesus said as he's praying to the Father in John's Gospel, chapter 17. We're in this world, but we're not of this world, which means we're from another place. We are citizens of heaven, Paul said in the epistle to the Philippians. You're a citizen of heaven. And so in that sense, we could say that you have dual citizenship. Yes, in one sense, you are a citizen of this world, but in a greater sense, you are a citizen of heaven. Amen? Amen. And you know, we live for such a short time on this planet. And I know that if you're younger, you may not realize it, but as you get older, you realize how short life really is on this planet. It doesn't even matter if you live to be 90 years old. When you're at that age, you're thinking, boy, things went by so fast. And the scripture talks about, you know, this life being like a vapor, like a mist, going by so fast and what have you. But in the midst of that, from the time that we're born to the time we go home to be with Jesus, we're sojourning in this earth, and God's got a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us in this earth. And I know about you, but one day I want to stand before him. I want to stand before him and have him say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen? And I know that's the heart of every true believer. It's your heart as well, that you'd like the Lord to be able to say to you as well, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. I've made my share. I probably made enough for everybody's mistakes. But thank God, overall, thank God he's a forgiver. Thank God he washes us. Amen? And thank God we get back up and keep going. Amen? Amen. First of all, we start off with this. In the scriptures, there's a twofold great commission. And when we say commission, we're talking about that which Jesus has committed to the church. And when I say church, I don't mean a building. I don't mean a place with a steeple and stained glass windows. I mean the people of God. The church are the people. That's why we can gather in what was at one time a grocery store and a medical facility. We can gather in this building because the church is not a building. It's the people. Amen? Amen. And so again, a twofold great commission to the church. The first one I want to read to you is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning with verse 15. You can turn there if you have time, but I'm going to read on. It's up on the screen. And he said to them, that's Jesus said to them, we're talking about why are we here? Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, preach the good news, preach the message of God to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they, that's those disciples, those followers, those believers, not just the apostles. He said these signs will follow those that believe. So not just the apostles that were the original ones following Christ, but the believers, it says in this case, they went out everywhere. It says they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. And so, you know, we understand from that passage that God has given us, Jesus has given us his name. We sang at least two songs today about the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. There's authority in that name. They were told by Jesus to go out in my name, by my authority. When we take his name, we're taking his authority. We're invoking his authority, and I want you to know that he has authority over all. Are you hearing me here? Amen. And then the second part, the second fold of commission, if you will, is written or recorded in Matthew chapter 28, 18 and 20, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And so, again, we see that there's a twofold. First of all, preach the gospel to those who are lost. Preach the gospel to those that don't know Jesus in order so that they might give their lives to Christ. And that is so important in the day we live. And you're going to see this year, we're going to begin a program in the church that is going to equip each and every one of us better than we've ever been equipped before to be a witness, to share, help people realize that Jesus loves them. We're going to be getting a program going that's going to be a great blessing to you. And so hold on, and you're going to be blessed. It's nothing to be concerned about or scared about, because you're going to be so equipped and so joyous and so looking forward to it, you're going to be able to just minister to people perhaps you've never ministered to before. And then, not only that, that second part in Matthew 28 is to make disciples. There's a twofold thing. We need to get people saved. We need to get people to know Christ. But then another and equally important part of this is to disciple people or to teach them the Word of God in order so that they might become strong in their faith. How many of you know that believers, though they come to Christ, you know, they come to Christ, but that's not the end. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. Then thereafter, they need to grow. They need to be taught the Word of God. They need to be knowing Him more intimately through His Word and by prayer and by worship and by gathering together with other believers as well. And so that is the twofold commission of the church, of we as believers, to preach the gospel to those that have never heard and also to disciple, to train up, to help people know Him more deeply from the Word of God, become rooted and grounded. And as I shared last Sunday, to become established in our hearts in the faith. We know that 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, in the last days the Spirit speaks expressly that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Well, when you know the doctrine of God, when you know the Scriptures, the teaching of the Word of God, you're more apt not to be swayed by the doctrine of demons that Paul, by the Spirit of God, said is going to happen and is already happening and has happened throughout the ages, this doctrine of demons. Are you hearing me? But the way we understand or the way we can discern what is not of God and what is through this Scripture, through the Word of God, and then therefore we are equipped to combat against those doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God. Amen? And so it's preaching the gospel to the unsaved. It's discipling the saved. Our twofold commission is that, all right? Now, we know that our mission, as you have seen out in the lobby, and it's in your bullet, in your newsletter, it reads this way. First of all, this answers the question our mission does. What business are we in? This is the business that we're in. Reach the lost with the good news of Jesus Christ. Establish the heart of the believer through sound Bible teaching. Thirdly, to build up and strengthen the members of the body of Christ. And fourthly, equip the believer for the work of the ministry. Did you know that every believer has a work of ministry, whatever it is? Amen? Is everybody here? And so every believer, again, we come back to that idea of purpose. We have purpose in this life. And so if we were going to put it in a nutshell, this mission statement, our mission is to reach out, to establish hearts, to strengthen, and to equip. Now, with all of that, I want to redirect just slightly here. And I want you to turn in your Bibles or your Bible app, because this is where we're going with this today. And God willing, we'll talk about some of these other things next week as well. I want you to go, if you will, to Acts chapter 3, the book of Acts, the third chapter. And this is where we begin to turn a little bit away from my original thought, my original plan, because I felt like even as we were worshiping God, I needed to go this way. Is that okay? That's why we don't put out a bulletin with the sequence of events or the sequence of what we're going to do, because we want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit every way possible. Amen? Now, in Acts chapter 3, we have a remarkable event, a remarkable narrative here of what happened in the early church. And I want us to read this. If you're there, say yes. All right, we're going to start with verse 1 of Acts chapter 3. It reads this way. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, that would have been, if my memory serves me, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man lame from, well, wait a minute. No, that would have been 9 o'clock in the morning, I think. Whatever it is, they went there the ninth hour. All right. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Note this. A certain man lame from the time he was born, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily in the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. So he's laid every day from the time he was born. He was laid every day at the gate called Beautiful of the temple. Then going on with this, it reads this way. It reads, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, verse 6, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Note, what did he say? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Remember we read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, it said that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. These disciples, Peter and John, took that to heart. And they said, well, we've got that name. That means we've got that authority. Jesus said to us as well, Peter and John no doubt remembered, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, it's recorded once again, that all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and earth. And then he told us to go and take that authority. And thus, that's what Peter and John were doing. They were taking that authority that is found in the name of Jesus, and they have exercised it and said to this man, we don't have any silver and gold, but what we do have, and I want you to know you have it too. Are you hearing me here today? You have that name of Jesus. You have that authority found in that name of Jesus. You and I are not called to be paupers. We're not called to be barely getting along. We're not called to be defeated. We're called to be victorious because of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for you and me. Amen. We need to grab a hold of that, no matter where we're at, no matter what trial we're going through, no matter what, let's not just lie down, roll over, and just accept everything that comes our way. Let's say, no, I'm putting my foot down, and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I have authority, and I take authority over these things in my life that are coming against me and bringing defeat, trying to bring defeat into my life. Amen. And so as it reads further into this, notice after Peter looked on him and said that to them, it said this. So he gave them his attention. Verse 6 once again. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took them by the right hand. That's one way of laying hands on people. Amen. Remember, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. He took them by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked. Notice, remember, he was lame when? From his mother's womb. From his mother's womb. In Acts chapter 4, we find out that this man was upwards of 40 years of age. It had been many years. And so it goes on and it says that, again, he lifted him up and immediately received strength in his bones. And verse 8, it says, so he leaping up, stood, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You know, I believe that we're in a day when we have many people out there in this world that need to see the wonder of God, that need to see the miraculous, that we need to see. Even as believers, we need to see more evidence and more notable miracles, which cannot be denied, which is what the Pharisees said later about this event. They said, as they were trying to discern what they ought to do with these guys, they basically said that a notable miracle has been done, and if we do anything to these guys severely, that we're going to be in trouble with the people because a notable miracle had been done by them. How many of you think we need some notable miracles that cannot be denied today? Amen. That cannot be denied today, cannot be explained away today. Let's put our faith out for that. Let's never get weary in well-doing. Let's never allow doubt to remain in our minds in spite of the fact, you know, we don't see as many miracles and signs and wonders as we want, but let's contend. Let's contend for them. Amen. Let's not give up. Let's continue to press in. And notice as it goes on with this, are you still with me? Verse 11. It says, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's porch. Solomon's greatly amazed, astounded. And again, you know, this got people's attention, didn't it? Think about this. Think about this. For years, they saw this lame man by the temple, by the gate. For years, they'd been giving him alms. They'd been giving him coins, you know, to help support himself. For years, he'd been there. And now suddenly, he's up on his feet, jumping, leaping, praising God, rejoicing in God and whole. Don't you think that'd get a lot of people's attention? Don't you think it would cause people to want to hear what was said? What was the reason for this? What does this mean? What has happened here? And open up people's hearts to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We need this. We need to contend for this. Why are we here? That's the question. That's the question we're attempting to answer. Why are we here? We're here to let a light shine. We're here to let people see that Jesus Christ is alive and well today. Amen. Now notice it says in verse 12, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. We're in verse 14 now. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. That was Barabbas, if you remember, as you read probably in Matthew or one of the Gospels, you read that, you see that. Verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. We saw him risen, is what Peter and John is saying here. Now notice verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Notice what it states here as Peter responds to this and why this has happened. He says the name. He says through faith in his name, this man has been made whole. And so again, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus basically means Jehovah our salvation or Jehovah our deliverance. The name of Jesus carries the authority of the person Jesus, you understand? And so when we invoke the name of Jesus, we are invoking the person of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Life, the one who brings healing, the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews 13 and verse 8. He is the same today. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. When Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his household, he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I want you to know that God is in this place today. Remember both of those two passages we shared concerning the twofold Great Commission. The first one in Mark 16, it says they went everywhere preaching the gospel, the Lord working with them. And confirming the word, the message, with accompanying signs. And then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, he said to them, after he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on and he says, and lo, I am with you always, unto the end of the age. I want you to know that he's with us always. I want you to know that by the Spirit of God, Jesus is in this place today. And I want to submit to you today as well that if Jesus is in this place, that means healing power is in this place today. One last passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 5. I wasn't planning it, but that's all right. I haven't planned half of this. Luke chapter 5. Let's go over there real quickly if you can. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Are you getting anything out of this? I just want to encourage you. I want to build your faith. Remember, it's by His name and through faith in His name that that man was made whole. And it's by faith in His name you'll be made whole. Faith in His name. Faith in His authority. You believe He's got authority over depression? You believe He's got authority over sickness and disease? You believe He's got authority over cancer, leukemia, arthritis, liver trouble? He's got authority over that, and He's here. And when we invoke that name, then those things have got to depart in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now notice now in Luke's Gospel chapter 5, it says this, beginning with verse 17. If you're there, say yes. It says, now it happened on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And notice now, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. To heal who? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The presence of God was there. Verse 18, then behold, men brought a man on a bed, who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Him. And when they could not find how they might bring Him in because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop and let Him down with His bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when He saw their faith, He said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately He rose up before them, took up what He had been lying on, and departed to His own house, glorifying God. Verse 26, and they were all amazed. Again, we see people amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Now, the point I want to bring, or a few points I want to bring just from that passage. How many of you know it's stated in that that the power of the Lord was present to heal the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? But did they receive healing? No. And so what do we know and understand, at least in part, about that? You know, the presence of God to heal can be present and nobody be aware of it. It's obvious that hardly anybody, especially those religious leaders, they weren't even aware that God's power to heal was present right there. We can also conclude that just because God's power is present to heal doesn't automatically mean people will be healed, because the Pharisees and the rulers of the law, the teachers of the law, were not healed. Are you hearing me here today? But what made the difference? Faith made the difference. The man said, or Jesus said, or it says concerning the man, that he saw their faith. And when he saw their faith, what was the seeing of their faith when they let him down through the roof? Amen. They let him down through the roof. He saw their faith. Now, today what I feel I want to do is I want to lay hands on people. Let's lay hands on people. Let's invoke that name, that authority. Why are we here? We're here to minister to people. We're here to minister to the lost, yes, but we're also here to minister healing. We're here to minister the Word of God in every way possible. The Word of God we just shared now should build faith in our hearts. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? And so by faith in His name, you can be made whole today as well. And so let's stand to our feet, and if you'd like hands laid on you, remember, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. It's nothing special about me. I'm a believer just like you, and so believers can lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name and expect them to recover. If we are not doers of the Word, if we're only hearers of the Word, how many of you know we've got to be hearers and doers in order to be blessed, in order to receive? Amen? So you know what? I'm not responsible to heal anybody. All I'm responsible to do, and all you're responsible to do, is do what God says and pray for people, lay hands on people, invoke the name of Jesus, have faith, and then God is the one who heals. Isn't that right? Amen. And so if that describes you, you want to be prayed for today before we close. Come on, let's be praying for you right now in Jesus' name. Come on down. Nobody looking around. You know, the Bible says that everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we would be remiss if we didn't give this opportunity, and probably should have done it before we even partook of communion, but we want to do it now. That if you're here today and you'd say, I don't know if I were to breathe my last breath or if my heart stopped beating, I don't know for sure that I would be in God's presence. I don't know if I'm forgiven of my sin. But the Bible says that we can be sure, because it's not by our own works, but it's by faith in His grace as we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, whoever will confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead shall be saved. And so if you're here today and you're not absolutely sure, you can be sure. And we want to lead you in a prayer, all of us together, in receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so if that describes you, would you have enough guts, enough boldness to say, I don't care what anybody else thinks, and everybody should be praying anyway, just lift your hand so I can see it and God can see it. We're all going to pray together, lest there even be one here today. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Lest there even be one here today. All right, we're going to pray this prayer anyway for the sake of those that might watch later. If you believe this, pray this prayer with me. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus died for me. He died for my sin because I have sinned. And so today I turn from sin and I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I believe with all my heart that He not only died, but He rose again. He's risen. So Lord Jesus, come into my life. I surrender to you and I make you my Lord today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.